Well, if you can make your way to your seats, we'll go ahead and get started, please. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. We have been on a journey the last few weeks talking about going through a sermon series called My Story, living the story that God is writing in you, or living the story of God in you. And, no one can tell a story, especially your story, like you can. Again, I said this a few weeks ago, and I just want to repeat it, but when your feelings, what's that? Are you okay? Okay. When oh my goodness. So, Bonnie, it may be Mary's fault, but you seem to be in the middle of all of those things that happen like that. So just say, love you, Bonnie. So no one can tell the story like you can. Your feelings, your emotions, your experience is all wrapped up into the story that you're telling. It is this story, this testimony that God is writing inside of you, is what God is doing inside of you. It's not what someone else does or what someone else is doing or what someone else has done. It's what God has done in you. And so when you tell this story, you're telling it with emotions, and you should. I could tell you story after story of times of when I shared either my story or someone else's story and how it has impacted certain people that have heard it. In fact, one of my stories I love to tell, I don't tell very often, but I tell when I'm speaking to 7th and 8th graders at retreats like at Camp Carl and those types of things. And I have seen what happens when I tell that story of what happened to me on a day when I was in high school. But I can tell that story with emotions because I lived it. When you live a story and you allow that story to resonate inside of you, when you tell that story, it changes people. It changes their heart. You connect with someone on a different level. Today, we're going to begin to bring a close to this series of sermons called My Story. This week, we're going to talk about the why we should share our stories. And next week will be the how to share your story. And I want to make sure that as we leave this sermon series, that you are equipped to go out and share the stories of God writing and what God is writing inside of you. See, today, I want you to understand that sharing the good things that God has done for you is what we're talking about. Oftentimes, someone will say to me, Pastor, you just don't know the story. My story's not that exciting. My story isn't that encouraging. My story isn't, I wasn't a drunk. I wasn't an addict at the bottom of the barrel. I wasn't in all kinds of trouble. I wasn't in jail and all those things. I'm like, hallelujah, thank God you weren't. Right? See, too often we think that to have a good story, it has to start with, well, I was at my last wit. I had taken the last drink of alcohol. I had smoked the last cigarette or taken the last drug. That does make good stories, and that is wonderful things to see God move in that. But God moves in other ways as well. Every story is different because every storyteller is different. But we're called to share the story that God has given to you. Do you know that Jesus, not only did he tell stories, but he equipped and told his disciples to go out and tell the stories. Every time Jesus made a difference in someone's life, he told them to go out and tell the story of what he had done. Now we're going to, I don't want to give away too much of that because we're going to get to that later on in the sermon, but we are called to share these stories. We're called to share what God has done. It needs to be of the front of our mind. It needs to be the front of your mind. It needs to be the front of our conversations with people. We have to be sharing with people and saying, this is what God has done in my life. This is why it's so important. This is what God has done. Oftentimes you'll hear someone go, well, did God move? Well, are you alive and are you breathing in and out? If the answer is yes, then God has moved in your life. And so we must understand that our story has to be told. the story of what God is doing inside of us. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you're doing in us. We thank you that we can be the living ink that you send us forth to write the story of what you're doing inside of us, so that all the world around us can see the glorious, wonderful works of God in us. Lord, we pray that you just bring us to a place of boldness and strength to share what you have done in our lives. That you bring us to a place of recognizing the very good things that you have done in our lives, Father, so that we can go out and share these good things with those around us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us today. Give us that strength. Give us that boldness. Give us that perseverance to move forward. And help us to share the story of what you're doing in us and through us. Lord, I pray that you'd remove any hindrances or stumbling blocks that keep us from hearing truly what you'd want to speak to us today. I pray that you'd remove any stumbling blocks and hindrances that keep me from saying exactly what you want to say today, Father. Let my words not be my own, but let them truly be your words, Father. Lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, come and have your way in us and in this service. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before I jump in, I just want to say a hearty thank you again to not only for the ladies' retreat yesterday, but also to all of those that assisted in serving dinner on Friday, or breakfast, I'm sorry, on Friday to the seniors at Redstone High School. It was a successful event, and we had just a wonderful time doing that. All right, if you have your Bibles again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 3. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul, of course, is speaking these words, and he's speaking to the Corinthians, and what he's saying to his friends in Corinth, that they are the ministers of a new covenant. They are the forebearers. They are the light bearers. They are the ones that are taking out this new covenant of what Jesus has done for them. And what he's saying to this very interesting piece, what he says to them, starting in verse 3, he says that you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. I love that analogy. Just think about that for a moment. What are you today? You are a letter written by God that you're showing the world around you exactly who God is. This is an amazing thing. I mean, think about this for a moment. When you go and you meet someone and you begin to share the story of what God has done inside your life, what you're doing is really showing them the writings of what God has done. You're showing the letter. You are the living ink, so to speak, of what God has done in you for the world around to see. So now this can be a wonderful thing, because listen, we can share the good things of what God is doing inside of us, but we can also, by the way, share the bad things that we choose to do instead. Are you writing a wonderful love story, or are you writing what's a bad book? I don't know what a bad book is. I'm trying to think of something. Choose your ending book that never ends, right? I guess, have you ever had one of those as kids when you read through? If you choose this, you go to this chapter, and if you choose that, you go to that chapter. I didn't hear it. It's okay. I don't think I want to. So, you are writing the letter of what God is doing. You are showing the world around you who God is. Do you understand? This is my creative way of saying your testimony shows what God has done in your life. Your testimony, when you speak to others about God and what he has done inside your life, you're either showing them that God is a good God, or you're showing them that God doesn't care about anyone. Actually, let me rephrase that. God cares about everyone. What you're showing them is either you are serving a God who's loving, or you're denying a God who loves you. That's the letter we're writing. When people look at you and say, hey, what's this thing about you going to church? What's this thing about you following Christ? What's this thing about you praying before dinner? What's this thing about you doing these things? Well, I do that because God loves me. I do that because He has made such a difference in my life. Oh, really? What kind of difference has He made in your life? Oh, He's made a huge difference in my life. He's given me the power to deal with Ben Andrella. That's a huge thing. Love you, Ben. I had to tease on someone else other than Pastor Chaz. So you're right there. You're the big guy behind Pastor Chaz. So I went there. I'm kidding. But no, listen, you are sharing the story. Do you know that some people you meet will never read the Bible? They just won't. Some people in this building may not ever read the Bible, which I'm going to slap you when I find out that you don't, but that's besides the point. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. Just kidding, yeah. But the truth of the matter is that some people will never pick up these words, will never read them. The only Bible they're going to read is the Bible that you show them. The only difference that they're going to see how Christ moves is how Christ has moved in your life. The way that you share your story, the way that you share your life, the way that you hold yourself, the way that you don't throat punch someone, the way that you hold your words, the way that you do these things, these are examples of God working inside your life. And this is sometimes the only Bible people will actually read. Sometimes when I meet someone who I know is not a Christian and who oftentimes I can realize that they don't really have an understanding of Scripture, you know, as a pastor, you're supposed to, you need to throw Scripture and you need to know this and you need to quote Scripture here and there and everywhere. And that's true. We should. You should have Scripture stored up inside your mind so you can share it. But sometimes... sometimes the crickets even chirp in the middle of a sermon. No, but listen, the truth of the matter is that sometimes you just need to not throw Scripture out. Because as soon as you do, guess what they're going to do? So what do you do in an event that you can't share Scripture with someone? You let your life share the Scripture. You let your actions share the Scripture. You let your relationship with that person share the Scripture. When someone says, why are you loving me this way? Well, that's funny that you ask. I love you this way because someone loved me first in that same way. And guess what? I just shared Scripture without giving you a reference or a place or a time. I'm not against sharing Scripture, but sometimes your life has to be the Scripture. You can't go around. See, oftentimes we get so screwed up because we like to throw Scripture out, but then our life has nothing to do with reflect the Scripture that we throw out. If your life doesn't reflect the very words that you're speaking, then the words that you're speaking hold no power and have no reason to be spoken because they're just idle words being spoken. We have to learn to let the living ink that we are come out in everything that we do. I want the living ink of the Holy Spirit inside of me to share with the people that I'm speaking to. And I want them to receive what God has to say to them through that story. And sometimes that comes in our words and our actions and our stories as we share that. John chapter 4, verse 27 says, just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? I'm going to give you a little context of time because I know we jumped right into the middle of this story, but this is about the woman at the well. Many of you may be familiar with this story, but the story is that Jesus enters into a town and he's walking up, and here at a well, he walks up to a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, the problem with this being a Samaritan woman is that Jesus is a Jew, and Jews and Samaritans at that time did not cross-pollinate. No purple going on there. Christy knows what being purple is, don't you, Christy, right? Yeah, no girls and boys coming together, right? Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They did not like each other. In fact, many Jews would purposefully go way out of their way just to avoid going through Samaria. They didn't want to interact. They didn't want to go there. They didn't want to be there. So when his disciples go off and they come back and they find Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman, they're like, whoa, hold up here. You just broke all of the Jewish laws that we thought were so important that we follow. And they said they marveled that he was talking with a woman. They're amazed. First of all, again, not only is she a Samaritan, but she's also a woman, which is a totally different level too. Unless you're husband or wife or you're interested in becoming a husband and wife, you didn't talk that way. So Jesus just sitting down at the well going, hey, what's going on? It's a new story. That's a new thing. That's a shocking thing to his disciples. His disciples are sitting there going, what is he doing? But he didn't ask. You know, I love John where he says, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? You know, this is side note for free. I'll throw this in. You know, just I laugh every time I read this. Isn't John a disciple? So he's speaking about himself in this way. So at one point he felt this way, but at some point he learned and he came back and said, I was wrong in my actions. I was wrong in my words and the way that I thought about this. All right, that's a side note. Oh, let's move on. So he says, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Verse 28 says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of this word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, I need to pause here for a moment and just explain this. And Paul and Candace back there, you guys might have to drive because my iPad is doing crazy things up here. So right now we're okay. You can leave it there for right now. Just then his disciples come up to them. They're asking him, why is he meeting with them? So then we find out the very next thing. So the woman left her water jar. You know, it's interesting that the disciples, we don't hear in this portion of the story, we don't see the exact conversation that Jesus had. Do you know the conversation that Jesus had? This is the JSV, the Jason, JSIV, I guess, international version. So, hey lady, we got some problems here. You've been sleeping around with a lot of men. In fact, the one that you're sleeping with right now isn't even your husband. And you need to get your life straight. Now, listen, he basically, in all terminology, called her a prostitute. And what does she respond? I'm going to go tell everyone that this guy told me this. Now, listen, if you're going into the grocery store and you walk up to a woman and you look at her and you call her a prostitute, you better duck because you're probably going to be slapped. For some reason, the spirit inside of Jesus, because he was Jesus, came into her, and the message that he shared with her was well received. See, there's something about sharing a message from God. There's something about when God is working inside of you and you share a message with someone that you can say things that you otherwise wouldn't necessarily probably get away with saying, and they would receive it because they see the Spirit of God. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you is connecting with the Holy Spirit inside of that person, and therefore the message that you share is received. Now, I'm not telling you to go to the Giant Eagle or grocery store or Walmart or wherever you do your shopping and tell people this. But it's interesting to me because we don't hear this story in that portion. We hear it earlier. But we see this when the disciples came up. What did the woman do? Instead of sitting there hearing from the woman, she is now no longer connected with Jesus. She immediately sets her jar down and she leaves because the disciples have come in and are questioning why she's there. She feels now uncomfortable with the questioning, the accusatory questioning that the disciples are given, instead of feeling loved and connected even with the harshness of his message that Jesus was giving. But she does something that's amazing. She leaves. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Now, the people of the town know her. She's not going back to the town, and she's not going back to the town. They're like, who's this woman, and what did she get? She didn't have to share. They knew. They knew how many times she was married. They knew her lifestyle. They knew all of these things. There wasn't any surprises to it. But she was going back to say, I met a man who told me all about all of the things I've ever done. And she shares this with them. And guess what? The people that hear it, they went out of the town and were coming to him. See, when you share what God has done inside of you, and even when it's difficult, even when, heaven forbid that God has to call you a prostitute, but heaven, if he ever does, or puts you in your place, because sometimes we need to be put in our place. Let's not sugarcoat this, and listen, I've never been one to just say, I'm just going to be real polite and be PC at church on Sunday. That's not me. When there's a problem has to be called out. If you're being stupid, then you have to be told that you're being stupid. And it's not because we don't like you. It's not because Jesus doesn't like her. It's because Jesus loves her, and he doesn't want her to stay in that place. And so he shares with her. He opens up with her, reads her mail, and then she drops everything and says, I got to go tell everyone what just happened. What happens is that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. I want to make sure you heard and what you read, what was up there. A man came and called me a prostitute, told me I should not be with the man I'm with right now because he's not my husband. And many people came to Jesus because I went back and told the whole town, this is what happened. In your darkest moments, in your deepest sins, if you allow God, he can use it to win other people to Christ. If you allow him to move inside of you first. The reason why this works is because this woman embraced what Jesus said. This woman said, yes, you're right, I am. And then she went running to town and told everyone. The problem is today is that when we get called out by the Holy Spirit or we get called out by God, we're like, that's not really me. I made a mistake. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how I ended up here. Yes, you did. It was your poor choices that landed you right here where you're at. And if you're honest with yourself, you would say that. But we don't. We hide them. And we try to come up with all kinds of different excuses until God calls us out. But what is happening here is that Jesus has called her out, and then he has used that story and what he has done inside of her to go win many people in that town. By the way, what town did she go back to? She went back to a Samaritan town where there was a lot of other people who didn't want to come speak to a Jewish person because that's a no-no. You don't cross. Jews and Samaritans don't cross. That's a no-no. We don't do that. What happened? They didn't care. Because her story was such an amazing story. What God had done inside of her to conquer the sin that she was living in was such an amazing story that she went and told the story, and it just came alive in the people's hearts. Not only did it come alive, but it became part of their own story. See, your story could be what starts the faith story of another person. The problem of it is you have to have a story first which means you have to allow God to work inside of you. You have to come to the place and say, I am not where I need to be, but I can get there through him. And when I get there through him, I'm going to have such an amazing story to share with other people. And my story is maybe the very story that makes others come alive. Their faith story could come alive inside of them. See, when you tell others of your God encounter, when you tell others of your God encounter and how God has worked inside your life, it ignites something inside of other people. Do you know that no matter, listen, I would love to have an introduction and I would love to meet your circle of people that are in your life. I would love to do that. And I would love to share Christ. I'd love to stand up and I'd love to preach to them. They invite me over on Sunday, I'll jump on the table and I'll preach to anyone that wants to hear it. I'd love to do that. But the truth of the matter is my story is not going to resonate with them. Why? I don't know who the heck I am. They know who you are. They know what you have experienced. They know what you have gone through. They know the troubles that you have seen. They know the difficulties that you've gone through. They know all of these things. And if you would just share that with others, it would ignite the flame inside of them. It would ignite their story. Their story would become so much more than what it is today. Honestly, I can't reach the people you can. God has created you and the people in your life. And your story was meant to impact the people in your life. And sometimes our tent stakes get expanded, like the prayer of Jabez. And our tent stakes get expanded and we can share our story with hundreds of people, thousands of people, sometimes millions of people. And sometimes God uses that story to do that. But here's the point. Every single one of us who follow Christ should have a story of what he's doing inside of you that you can share with the people around you. And they are waiting to hear that story. They need to hear that story. You need to share that story with them. See, sometimes we have to understand that if the flame in you is burning, it will start a flame in other people too. Many years ago, when I was a wee young lad, I was serving as a youth leader at our church. My wife and I had just got married, and this guy calls me up one day, and he goes to our church. He says, Jason, I need to come over and have a talk with you. I need to have a conversation with you. I want to share something with you. It's so exciting. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. Can I come over to your house and share? I said, sure, come on over. We'll have dinner. We didn't have a lot of money at that time, so inviting someone over to our house for dinner was a big step. But he came over to our house, and he sits down, he goes, so tell me a little bit about yourself. So I shared a little bit about our story, how my wife and I met, all of the things that had happened in our lives. And I said, well, this is great. What's your story? And he began to share the story of how God has worked in his life. He goes, but that's not what I'm here for. I said, well, what are you here for? He goes, I'm here to tell you about this wonderful product I'm selling, and it's called Amway. Now, I'm not for or against Amway, so please don't hear me saying any of these things, right? But what I'm saying to you is that I was excited to hear the story of what he had to tell me. Why? Because he was excited about telling me this story. He was excited about what's going on in us. See, the problem is too many Christians walk around wanting to tell the story of what God is doing, but going, yeah, I see God. I have all these troubles in my life, but you know what? We end up sounding like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Pin the tail on the donkey, right? Donkey. If God is a flame inside of you and you're excited about it, guess what? It's going to excite others. If the candle isn't burning and it's smoldering and there's just a little smoke and it's a dull light that can't be seen anywhere else, guess what? people aren't going to be excited. But when you get excited about what God is doing inside of you, when you get excited about all the amazing miracles that you've seen, when you get excited about those things, people will resonate with that and they'll want to hear those stories. Luke chapter 8, verse 38 says, "The man whom from the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.' And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." Now, listen again, we jumped right in the middle of a story. The story is that a man was chained up on the side of a hill for many years because he had demons inside of him. Many, many demons inside of him. In fact, when Jesus called him out and asked him what the name of the demon was, he said legion, which means many, means an army, thousands, sometimes more. And so Jesus is interacting with this man, and what does Jesus do? He comes down and he heals the man of these things. The evil spirits leave this man, and they jump into the pigs, and guess what the pigs do? They take a short trip off of a high cliff. It's not the jump that matters, it's the fall that gets you. Jesus says to them, the man says to Jesus, I should say, he begs Jesus that he might go with him. But Jesus did something. Now listen, if Jesus was all about collecting disciples, if Jesus, his only purpose was growing a big church and growing his disciple, he would say, come on, let's go, follow me. But what did he do? Jesus didn't say, come follow me. He's a rabbi, he's a teacher. That's what he's known for. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to teach people. He's supposed to bring them along. But what did he do instead? He tells the man to go and tell everyone what God has done inside you. Jesus sent him away, telling him to return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Now we're not just talking, listen, this man didn't just merely tell a few people in his neighborhood. He didn't just tell his family members. He didn't go home to his family and say, hey, guess what? This dude on the cast out these demons out of me. They jumped into pigs and jumped off the side. No, he literally told the whole city is what Scripture says. Scripture says he told the whole entire city what Jesus had done, how much God had done for them. Jesus tells him and tells us to declare how much God has done for us. When we think about telling our story, we often get caught up in trying to say the perfect combination of words. We often try to say, I got to make my story sound wonderful, and I got to make it sound this, and so I'm going to use these words, and I'm going to say these things, and I'm going to do all of these things. What did Jesus say? Just go declare how much God has done for you. There wasn't no grandiose scheme. There wasn't any large words to use. He didn't tell you to pick up the Webster's Dictionary and find the most difficult words to say and then ask Pastor Jason to say those things. And I would deny it because I would never do it. But the point of it is he says to him, go declare how much. That's all this is. Telling your story is just declaring what God has done for you. To go and tell. Jesus says, go and tell. What is he telling us? Go and tell the world and declare just how much God has done for you. We must learn that our story is really just a declaration of thanks for everything that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has done for us. That's what our story is. Our story is just a mere declaration of wonderful, wonderful stories of wonderful things of what he has done for us. How do you tell your story? You declare what God has done for you. Now, I'm going to, listen again, I've never held back on anything, and I'm not going to hold back this time either. I'm tired of Christians thinking that they're greater than God. And now let me say this. All of you are looking at me like, what? The reality of it is that too many Christians stand up here and say, my story isn't that great. Liar. many of you stand up here, not you, but many people stand up or they don't have a story. I don't have a story to tell. God hasn't done anything wonderful in my life. God hasn't done this. Really? Really? So you're sitting here telling me what God has done in your life is so insignificant. You've chosen to decide what God has done in your life to be significant or not, meaning that you've decided to take the role of God in your life. When you stand up and say, I don't have a testimony because my testimony is not that important, that is the worst thing that you could ever say. Because what you're really saying is that what God has done in my life means absolutely nothing. Whether you've come from the bottom of the barrel or not, what God has done inside of your life is an amazing thing. All you have to do is stop and look at what Jesus did on the cross for you. That's merely enough. You could declare that for the rest of your life and not have enough words to say. Because someone chose to die on a cross for you that you deserve to take, the death that you deserve to have. But you chose. He chose to get up on that cross and die for you. Not for the people 2,000 years ago, not just for the people 2,000 years ago, but for you. Who are you to tell God what he has done in you is insignificant or not important? The truth of the matter, listen, this has to be said because too often we look back at our life and say, if you can't look right now at this very moment and look back and start thanking God for the amazing thing that he's done in your life, then you need to go home, you need to sit down on the couch, you need to open up your journal, and you need to start thanking God for all of the blessings that he's given to you. You need to open up that blessing and say, this is what God has done in my life. From day one to right now, this is what God has done in my life. And you need to start writing down every single thing. And I guarantee you, you will find many things in your life that you can be very, very thankful for. But what happens too often is that we think they're insignificant. We judge in our own mind that they're insignificant when really they're huge things. Or what we do is we just choose to not think of them at all, which is just as bad as saying, God, what you've done is insignificant. We have to get to a place to understand that our story declares the goodness of what God has done in your life, delivering you from what he has brought you out of. We don't share these stories enough. Telling your story becomes so much easier when you realize exactly what God has done for you in your life. Telling your story about how God has moved. Listen, I don't care if you've been a Christian 30 seconds or you've been a Christian 30 years, you have a reason to thank God for what he's done in your life. I don't care if you have been an alcoholic who lived out in the streets, who did drugs, who did whatever those things, or you're someone at a young age, at age 6 years old. I don't know why, I keep using one side bad, one side good. That's okay. That's not to say anything about you all over here and these guys over here, okay? But the truth of the matter is that even if you gave your life to Christ at 6 years old, even if you can't remember the very day that... Listen, you all should remember the very day you gave your life to Christ. But if you don't, I'll forgive you, sort of, kind of. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter what age you came to Christ. God has done miracles in your life from the very beginning, the time that you gave your life to Christ, to the time you are today. The very fact that you woke up, you got out of your bed, you got into the car, you drove to this place, you walked down that aisle, you sat down in the chair is a blessing from God. And sometimes we just got to thank God. Listen, there's times that just getting out of bed, I thank God that I was able to roll out of bed. But everything that you do is a blessing from God. If you view these things as blessings, if you view the things that are happening in your life as wonderful gifts of God, then your story becomes so much easier to share because you're looking at what he has done. You appreciate the very things that he has done in your life. I met with a couple a few years ago, and I walked into their home, and they lived in a mobile home park. and let's just say that their mobile home park wasn't the best one in the area. I won't give names of where it's at, but it wasn't the best one in the area. And the family says to me, "I'm so sorry, Pastor, you had to come here. I'm so sorry, my house is a mess. I'm so sorry, all these things." And she proceeded to say, I just don't feel like we have that many blessings to share. And I said, "What do you mean you don't have that many blessings to share?" She goes, "Look at my house. Look where I live." I said, "You know what? Just a few years ago, I was in the middle of a war-torn country called El Salvador. And in that El Salvador countryside, there was a man without any legs who slept on a homemade hammock and made food in the middle of a fire inside of his house. And he had a tin roof with mud walls. And he thanked God for the structure he had." When that family began to thank God for what God had given to them, they became encouraged to see what God had done. And their lives began to change. They began to adapt and they began to do things in their house and try to keep their house up to code and all of these things. And they would clean and they would do things. And you know, it wasn't very long before I went back to the house and I didn't even recognize their house. When you are thankful for what God has done in your life and you give Him thanks, you will find reasons to praise Him for every little thing He has done. And the blessings build upon the blessings, and they build upon the blessings, and they build upon the blessings. Before you know it, you're walking and you're saying, "I'm a blessed man." I am. That doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory. Doesn't mean that we're walking on roses everywhere we go, but it means I'm blessed. And I find the blessings in the middle of the troublesome times of my life because that's what pulls me out. That's what pulls me out. When I get to that place of going, "Woe is me," and I start naming all of the problems that I have to stop and go, "Stop it, Jason." Start thanking God for who He is and what He's done in your life. Thanking Him for the house that He's given me. Thanking for the food that He... Thanking Him for a wife that puts up with all of your pastor's crap. And let me tell you, there's a lot of it. Your story is important. Your life is important. Listen, hear me out, please. You are significant. There's nothing insignificant about any single person that's in this room. God has loved you so much, and you are so important to Him that He was willing to die on a cross for you, and He was willing to give everything that He had for you. If that doesn't speak significance, I don't know what does. Stop viewing yourself as an insignificant person. Stop viewing your story as insignificant. Stop telling God what is important and what's not. And thank Him for everything that He has done in your life. It's time to figure out just how much God has done for you and then go and declare it to every single person that will listen. One of my favorite things to do is to walk into the grocery store. And I walk the aisleways, and as I'm walking the aisleways, I'm praying to God, "God, give me that opportunity. Give me that interaction. Give me that moment that I can share significance with another person in this place, that I can share a story of how good You are in my life, to do those types of things." And you know what? It almost always happens that I get bumped from behind with a cart. And I turn around. Just this past week, I'm praying as I'm walking around and I'm getting my stuff and I'm praying, I'm getting the stuff I need and I'm walking and I'm like, "God, just give me the opportunity." And I'm not bright enough to see the opportunity, so God has to hit me in the backside with it, right? And he does, and I turn, and there's a lady. She looked like she had just been crying. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "No, I don't have enough money to buy the groceries I need." She goes, "I feel like a complete loser." I said, "What do you need?" She goes, "Well, I don't have enough for diapers, so I was having to decide whether I was going to buy diapers or I was going to buy food." And I said, "Get it all. Throw it in your cart. Let's go." So we walked around the store together, and as we walked around the store together, I shared the gospel of Christ with her, telling her how much she was loved and how much God loved her and how significant she was and what the purpose, that God had a purpose and a plan for her life. And yeah, this time may be difficult. And yeah, right now it may be a tough time, but God wants to do something great for her. And then I got up to the checkout, and she starts scanning all these items. She goes, "This is all the money I have." And I looked at her. I looked at the cashier lady. I said, "Bag up these groceries and send her on the way. I got her bill." So the lady looks at me. She goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, I'm sure." So she packs all these bags up. She sends the lady in. The lady gives me a big hug. She walks out. She gets in her car, and she leaves. The cashier looks at me and says, "Are you out of your mind?" I said, "Yes, I am." And so she's sitting there. She's like, I've never seen someone really do that. I've heard of people doing that before, but I've never seen someone do that before. I said, "Well, it's just that God loves everyone." And I said, "He loves that woman, and he wants to share with her." And that was just my opportunity to share the love of Christ with her. And then I looked at her. I said, "What's your favorite candy bar?" So I have to buy a candy bar for a friend. I said, "What's your favorite candy bar?" And she's like, "I don't know. I like Reese cups." And I said, "Okay." So I reached over and I grabbed two Reese cups. And I said, "Scan these up too." And she scanned them up. And I said, "Here, they're yours." And I walked out of the store. I said, "God loves you too." Our stories are not insignificant. Our stories are important. If we just look for the opportunities, God gives them to us everywhere you go. Your neighbors need to hear your stories. The people, the waitresses that you go to your restaurants need to hear the stories. Your family members need to hear the stories. People need to hear of the amazing things that he's done. Listen, I know most of you, and I know the stories and how great God and what great things God has done inside of you. And your stories will change the hearts of people if you just merely tell them. Get over yourself. Get over the devil trying to stop you from sharing those stories and go share the stories that God has given to you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. This verse that we read, where Jesus tells the man who he delivered the evil spirits, from the man and sent him into the pigs and the pigs go running. About the third year that we had our church, we did a joint service with a inner city. I think it's funny when I say inner city Ravenna, but it truly was an inner city Ravenna church. It's an African-American church, and there was a whole bunch of these older ladies there with the big hats and stuff, you know, and here we walk in with jeans and t-shirts on. And so, "What kind of service are we having today, Pastor?" Because I was building a friendship with this man. And he says to me, he goes, "We're having a praise service today." I said, "Oh, really? What's that mean?" He goes, "We're going to praise about everything." And I kid you not, the first lady, about 75, 80 years old, stands up. She has the biggest hat with the biggest... And she goes, "I just want to praise Jesus. Today I had the best bowel movement I've had in weeks." I kid you not. I looked over to the pastor. He goes, "It's worthy to be praised, is it not?" And I said, "Amen." But then I watched as every single one of those ladies and some of these older men that were there stood up. I thank God for waking me up this morning. I thank God for taking the pain of my arthritis away. I thank God that for one day today, I have a straight mind. Meaning I can think, I'm thinking straight. I thank God because I was able to sleep a whole hour last night. These are the testimonies that are coming out. And I sat there and because I had literally been stressing out, what am I going to thank God for? What's going on in my life today that I can thank God for? And God convicted me and says, you thank me for everything that happens in your life because what you have in your life is because of what I have given you. And so my story from that point forward is a story of sharing with anyone that will listen about how good God is because what he's done inside of me. Now listen, you have to understand that my story doesn't start with being at the bottom of the barrel. My story doesn't start with I was a drug addict or I was this or I was that. You know what my story starts with? My story starts with I thought God was inside my head pulling levers. That's what I thought when I was young. And it took me years to learn those things. And that's not how God is. Some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor, it would be a lot better if you could talk about being a drug addict. No, thank you. I don't want that story. I'll let someone else have that story. I don't need that. Sarah's doing a wonderful job of sharing that story. I don't need to share that story. She's recovered, by the way. I felt like I needed to say that. Sorry. It's only a wonderful story because where she's at today. Sorry, Sarah. I'm sorry. It's time. You have every reason to share your story. Will you stand with me, please? I realize that the only way to share a story is to have a story. And the only way to have a story is to give it all to Christ. You can't thank God for something that you haven't given him to give him the ability to do. And so right here, right now, in this place, in this time, before we sing this worship song, what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to have a reason to have a story. Because we're all dealing with stuff. Listen, I don't care who you are. You're in this place right now, you're dealing with something. And you need to thank God, but you need to give it to him. You need to say, here, Lord, do something with this so I can turn this. God promises to do what? To turn all things into good. So he takes the worst stories, the worst things that we can do, the worst mess ups that we could ever do, and he takes them and he turns them into something good. If you allow him to. But you got to allow him to do those things. You got to allow him to come in and clean up the messes. To give it over to him. And say, Lord, it's yours. I don't want it. I don't want this mess. So here you go. It's all yours. It's time to declare the goodness of what God is by allowing him to do those things in you. Stop being a stubborn fool. And I say that with all love. But a stubborn fool is the one that says, I know the answer to this, but I'm not going to go there. That's called insanity. It's called hitting your head on the brick wall over and over and over again, trying to do the same thing to get different results. That doesn't work. What works is coming to Christ and giving him everything and saying, it is yours. I can't take it anymore. I don't want it. Get over yourself and give it to him and let him change your story. Let him make you different. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done and what you are doing in our lives. Lord, we're tired of carrying the burdens of these things in our life, and we want you to take these things away from us and turn these stories into beautiful things that will ignite the flame in other people so that we can declare the goodness of who you are. Father, we have so many reasons to declare. But Father, we want to stand before it. We stand here now in this place, and we say, take them. take our troubles, take our problems, take the messes that we've made. You promised to turn them into something good. And so we give them to you and we say, turn them into something good. Turn them into something beautiful. Let us declare the goodness and the mercy and the wonderful deeds that you have done in these issues, Father. Lord, I pray for believers that will get off their duff, that will stop telling you what's significant and what's insignificant, and share just what you have done inside of them. Part of that is having a relationship with Christ. And so if you're here today and you've never done that, just give your life to Christ by saying, Romans 10 verse 9 says that I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in Him and what He's done on the cross. If you believe enough in Him to receive salvation, you should believe in Him enough to declare and to turn those good things, those messes, into good things. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to turn our mindset. Help us to fall to our knees and say, here, they are yours, Lord. I don't want them. I want you. And then let us go and declare to every single person that will hear. Remove the hindrances, remove the fear, remove the all of the stuff that just keeps us from sharing how wonderful you are to people around us. Lord, you're doing an amazing work in us. And I thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do, Father. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, these altars are open. It's time, my friends. It's time to declare the goodness of who God really is, to give Him the chance to do that. I'll sing this worship song, but come if you want to. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray for you. We invite you to come forward so we can pray with you, and let's see God do some amazing works in our lives. No story, it's no person as insignificant and not loved by Jesus. He's the one that empowers every single one of us. He's the one that gives us the purpose to wake up in the morning, to take the breaths that we take, to turn back to praise to Him. It's because of what He's done in us that we do these things. Don't ever let anyone or anything tell you that your story doesn't matter. Because it does. Be thankful for what He has done. Declare all that He is doing and all that He... Sometimes declaration doesn't just end with what He has done. Sometimes declaration is what He is going to do. Declare that God is going to move. He's going to do a great work inside of you, or already is doing a great work inside of you. Declare that. People need to hear it. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You have done. I thank You for all that You are doing, Father. Everything we have is due You, Father. It's not one step, not one breath, not one cell of our body that is outside of what You have done for us. And so we thank You for those things, Father. We declare how amazing and wonderful You are. We pray that You would give us boldness and strength to share the story of what You've done, not only here in us, but in all of us, Father. Send us forth from this place, being Your hands and feet and Your living ink, as Paul says, so that we can share the story, the letter of how good You are and what You're doing in us. We glorify You, we honor You, we praise You now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you again next week.